All right, I think everybody's about settled in. Good morning. Let me ask you guys a question. Do you have to understand everything that's being taught to just be in the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Michelle said no right away. How about the rest of you? Do you have to understand everything? Did Adam understand everything? Or was he just given the word of God? And in that word, though he did not understand at that time, was both life and death, wasn't there? The two-edged sword. So is the word of God with us. So let me ask you this. Is God in you guys? Is he really? I want you to think about that answer. Is God in me? Where's heaven? Where's Jesus? Where is all of these things that Dan's been teaching the last couple of Bible studies? Awesome stuff, huh? Rick's taught on some of these things. These higher levels of angels in heaven and cherubims and seraphims and Michael the archangel of God putting the devil out of heaven. That's some awesome stuff, isn't it? Stuff gets me excited. So have you ever thought about the simplicity of truth? What was the one thing, the predominant thing, let me say it like that, that the apostles preached in the book of Acts more than anything else? What did they preach? What was their gospel? Shout it out to me. I'm not really going to use the board, but I want to put something up here. The simplicity of truth, the apostles of God, they had a what? I've already said it. They had a gospel, right? What was that gospel? We know it was the truth. What was the truth of their gospel? The testimony of Jesus Christ concerning what? So now they have a testimony, right? And it was of Jesus Christ, concerning, there you go, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Keith, was that not the ultimate theme, if you will, of their gospel in the book of Acts? Did they always teach it? Or for the most part in the book of Acts, Brad, did they preach it? Why do you think that was? They weren't concerned at that time with just teaching the masteries of this great gospel. Who did that later in some of the epistles? Paul did that, right? And those things are done in our midst. Trust me when I tell you. We've been taught the higher levels of the things of God. In the masteries. We've been taught those things. And they're glorious. But I want to talk to the Word of God in you this morning that may not understand all of those things. And I want to exhort and encourage you that the gospel of Jesus Christ has been preached to you, and it, with great intent, has been presented to you as a testimony of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the reason that I'm presenting this to you is for a very simple reason. There is no requirement for you to be able to explain to me or Dan or Rick or any of these others on how all of it works. I just want to know one thing, Brad. I want to know one thing, Julie, from you this morning. I want to know one simple thing. Do you believe that gospel? Do you believe that Jesus died for you, was buried, and was raised from the dead? Do you believe that simple truth this morning? Well, I paused because I was waiting for a response. Don't make me work all alone here. I want to know, when these things are preached to you, do you simply believe them?
Do you guys understand that there must at some point be a quickening in you that causes you to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? You may not understand all of it. You may not be able to explain all of it. This is why Dan said the other night, most people are afraid of the book of Revelation. Do you guys still fear even reading the book of Revelation? Why do you think that is? Because you go through with a carnal mind and you read the book of Revelation and you don't understand it. You don't even want to put yourself in that position, do you? You just don't want to deal with those enemies in your mind that tell you, that intimidate you, that lie to you and say, this is not for you. I come to tell you that there is an end to the carnal mind. God's got an end for you, and in that end of that carnal mind is the beginning of the mind of Jesus Christ. We say, well, why, oh, why does God's word cause such a manifestation of thought in me that causes fear, torment, dismay, unbelief? I mean, that's how I identify myself. Is all my thoughts are a mix of unbelief and fear and all of these different things. And then they say things to me like there's idolatry working, there's rebellion working. I taught a little bit on this Thursday night on the WebEx. The Word of God comes to us, and because that Word of God is young and it's a child, it's what? It's tossed to and fro, isn't it? Because it really doesn't know who it is. It really doesn't know what it believes. All it knows is that at times there is an overwhelming desire. You guys ever identified that? How many of you have a desire for God? Come on, people. You got a desire for God, don't you? I've had a desire for God since I was a little boy. I mean, a little boy. How do you explain that? How do you, you're 4 or 5 years old. You don't know, Keith, about these things we're talking about over the last several years. I didn't have a clue about any of those things. I was scared to death to read the book of Revelation. My pastor told me at that time, one time, don't you read the book of Revelation, man. Don't you read it. You're not ready for that. He wasn't ready for that either, but that's beside the point. He's telling me there's too much in there. It'll just confuse you. Well, there is some... There's an aspect of truth to that, isn't there? You know why? Because when you're a child and you don't understand the entire purpose of God, and you hear some of these things or you read some of these things in the book of Revelation, you are not ready for those things because you don't understand them. You don't understand a lot of what God is doing, but there is a huge picture of what God is doing in us. Because the Word of God is in us. That question I ask you, most of you were bobbing your head saying, yeah, the Word of God is in me. That's true. The Word of God is in you. And that's why we preach to the Word of God. We do not preach to Dee. We don't preach to Naomi. We don't preach to Michelle. Although, your avatar is the one that gets that Word of God right to this location, doesn't it? So in essence, I do have to preach to Michelle, don't I? I have to relate to Michelle. I have to talk to Michelle. If I never talk to Michelle, I'll never get to talk to the Word of God in her. And she'll never hear about the Word of God in me. Makes sense, doesn't it? So please don't tell me this life doesn't matter. This life does matter. It was in this life that I sat down across the table and heard about the curses that were working in me. You say, well, God could have told you that. Then why didn't he? Why did it take Daniel sitting down at a table in a restaurant talking to me about these curses? If I could have got that on my own, why didn't I? You want to just know the honest truth of it? Because I didn't understand, Keith. If I could get myself out of that situation, I wouldn't need God. If I could save myself, I wouldn't need those preaching the gospel. So that little religious thought you got, and really it's not a little thought, it's a huge thought, it's a giant thought in you, that tells you all the time, you can get this, you can work this out on your own. You don't really need anybody. You can stay alone over here in a corner somewhere in a dark place, and eventually you're going to figure all this out. How's that been working out? Why are you laughing? Because it doesn't work, right? So what do you need, Julie? You need some fellowship. You need some preachers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, don't you? You need preachers that have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they preach to you in the simplicity of that truth. And what they do, they bring you to what? They bring you to a decision in this life, right here, right now. Not some distant time in the future. Today is the day of salvation, is it not? If it's not, why are we preaching? If God can't change you, what are we doing? There's a scripture somewhere in Romans. We don't necessarily have to find it, but Paul was talking about these things. If our preaching is in vain, then we might as well just quit, walk away, live our lives, eat, drink, and be merry, and be done with the whole thing. If this gospel is not true, then our preaching is in vain. But I'm telling you right now, I have a testimony that this gospel is true. There have been those that have sowed this gospel into me, and it works. It changes you. Yes, it brings you into a death. You know why it brings you into a death? Because Jesus said, if you do not lose your life, you will never find it. You'll never find it. And so back in the old days, we're taking the Bibles and we're running through the scriptures and we're trying to find our favorite little scriptures. We're drawing the little things out of the bread box from the Bible store. Well, that's my word of God for today. If I eat this little piece of paper, the devil will have no power over me. And it lasts for a few minutes, don't it? Because you get all excited and you get emotional and it's just awesome. Oh my God, how did the little bread box know exactly that was the scripture that I needed? How did the bread box know? It's a magic bread box. There's no magic to this. It's just the simple truth that God's word is true in all things. The gospel of Jesus Christ works because it is the truth from the very beginning. And we get disheartened when the word of God comes to us in this simplicity. And yet the only thing that is made evident to us at first is our failure, our inabilities, our fears, our unbeliefs. We don't know if what Daniel is saying to us is true or not. Come on, somebody either agree with me, or you can stay in your little lie and pretend that you're okay and you can work this out on your own. That's true. Which part?
The part about them saying something and not believing it and not understanding it, so I don't, you know, but I just know to believe.
Okay.
Just believe. That's all Dan has ever told me, because sometimes it's such an area that I don't understand. I'm sitting here and I'm just like, I don't get that. But then I just always go back to just believe.
Okay. That's a start, isn't it, Michelle?
Absolutely.
Basically, she said what I'm saying. Dan says stuff, probably ticks you off sometimes. Probably like, what the heck? This is so frustrating. I just don't get this. I know I'm ad-libbing some things, but I've been in the thought, so I know it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anybody else agree? Yeah. Are the rest of you just so spiritual? Doesn't apply. Come back for the 2 o'clock, the special session. Well, you're teaching that. No, I'm not. You're teaching that. Okay, so this gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you something. Have you ever thought you had the gospel of Jesus? You know, I was in church since I was 5 years old, and by the time I got to my teenage years, I was an extremely arrogant person in what I thought God was. Preached all over. You guys know the story. But the reality is, like we were sitting here Thursday night, and Dan was talking about submission and obedience. I just went into those things, and I was like, my God, man, I remember when God told me to submit to the anointing. I thought I had been doing that all my life. So what is the first thing that God has to do when this truth is preached to us? He has to reveal the death in us, doesn't he? The iniquity of the man of sin. How many of you think that there's two aspects to that death? Or is there just one in Jesus Christ? And that is God showing you that he himself has submitted to his Father in all things. Is that the right way, or is there a better way? a different way. I'll tell you the way we do it. We think that we have to focus over here and we have to understand everything about this death. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me you haven't spent years trying to figure out the carnal mind. What death should you have been going after? The death of Christ, right? What about the rest of you? If you've spent years in this, have you figured it out yet? Let me ask you this question. If you figured it out, why haven't you overcome it? Ah, so you mean this death cannot overcome death? Be Satan trying to overcome Satan? It'd be the kingdom of darkness trying to overcome the kingdom of darkness? It's a divided kingdom. It's a fall. It's a disaster, actually. You could call this mind right here a lot of things. You call it the carnal mind, the religious mind, the mind of darkness, the mind of death, the mind of wickedness, the mind of iniquity. It's everything. And here's the catch. We still have thoughts that this is talking about some bad thing we did out here in the physical realm. I'm telling you that your life here is a shadow of the iniquity that works in you and in the thoughts you have. The reason you've done everything you've done out here is because of the thought pattern you have in here. So because you've continued to look out here, you've missed where the problem really is. There's death working in you. There's a wrong mind. There's a wrong thinking in you. And the Word of God comes to you in truth, in life, in light. And guess what gets offended? Guess what gets stirred up? Guess what gets reproached by the coming of that gospel? This right here. Because if I told you this right here thinks it has a gospel, didn't I just tell you I thought I'd been submitting to God the entire time? Did I think I had a gospel? Did I think I already knew this? What do you think? I'll just tell you I did. I thought that I was coming into this. What did I thought the definition of this was? Becoming a great preacher here, coming into a place where you started churches, you helped start churches, you were an overseer, you were a bishop, you were this and that and all this stuff, and the prophet, the pastor, and all these things worked in you or under you, if you will. In other words, you had, I was going to go to Charlotte, North Carolina, I think, one time. They told me, you can be the apostle, and we've got a man that's a prophet of God. He'll be your right hand, and we were just going to set the whole fivefold ministry in place in that church. Disaster. Disaster. I mean disaster thinking. Because what takes place in that? You never come to the end, do you, Brad? You never find the hidden jewel, the hidden seed, the hidden word. You never find the pearl that God set in you. You guys all said the Word of God's in you, right? You never find it because you're too distracted by what you think God is. And the evidence of that is very simple. Look at how you've lived your life. Look at it. Have you ever really truly looked at it and said, my God, man, I have been in a pattern and a cycle for 30 plus years. Everything has worked the same over and over and over again, and I'm not any closer to God than I was 30 years ago. I don't know more understanding. And here's the catch. You don't understand because now a higher level has come to you, and you realize, I don't even know what they're saying. I don't understand their language. It's a foreign language to me. I've been through that. I used to hear Dan and Rick preach, and I was like, might as well speak French, man. Might as well speak Spanish. I have no clue what you're saying. What are you talking about? It ticked me off so bad, I'm telling you. I'd get so mad, so angry. I'd leave out of here in such arrogant thoughts. Who are they to tell me? You ever had thoughts like that? It's okay. This is not a confession service. I'm not wearing a white collar. Don't need nobody running down here and trying to confess all your sins, okay? You might find out what you thought your sins were aren't sins at all. You know the greatest sin here? Goes back to exactly what I said. The gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple. When this gospel is preached, do you believe it? Do you know not believing this gospel is a sin? Anything that is not of faith is sin. So when the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached to you and you hold on to what you know, what you think, what you're persuaded is God, could that be the thing keeping you from coming into the fellowship of Jesus Christ with those that have this gospel and are teaching you and leading you and guiding you? How many's ever had to be guided? How many's ever just, you know what? There's just thing, like Michelle said, there's just thing, I just don't understand. I just don't understand it. Can we just, I don't understand it. But here's the intent. It's not that we're asking you to walk around here consistently going, you know, I just don't understand. I just don't understand. I don't understand. I don't need to hear about all that weakness. I need one simple thing from you. I'm going to let you teach me. I'm going to let you guide me. I'm going to let you preach to me. One thing I believe right now, I may not have the whole, but one thing I believe, this Jesus that you're preaching, I believe he is the God of heaven. I believe he has risen from the dead, and I believe his intent for me is good. How many of you believe good is in you? Because we see a lot of the bad. We talk about a lot of the bad when the manifestation of the man of sin comes forth. We think about a lot of the bad, don't we? What about the good? You remember the grounds? Have you ever been wayside? You have been wayside, haven't you? You haven't understood. But do you remember the part that said the word of God came? The sower sowed the word of God? So wait a minute. If you are at times wayside, does that not prove the word of God has come to you? You see what I'm saying? In other words, Keith, none of this would have ever been known to you had the word of God not come to you. How can that be bad? How can God making these thoughts manifest in you be a bad thing? When the intent is to bring you into this death, burial, and resurrection. In other words, like David said, when he went into that valley, there was a coming out of that valley? There was something on the other side? Yeah. He said, my cup is full, it's running over. Surely I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's it's not a permanent thing that you're going to be stuck forever in this valley of the shadow of death? Or have you believed a lie that says, I'm just going to be in these thoughts of hell and torment forever? There's no escape. That's a lie. Go read Acts 2. Maybe we'll get to it in a minute. In fact, you can put it up if you want to. Let me start real quick with something Peter said, because you know the story, right, of what took place in the book of Acts. They're in the upper room. Sound from heaven comes like a rushing mighty wind, fills the whole place. Cloven tongues of fire sits upon their heads. Great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. But find me, who's up there, Josh or Don? Find me where Peter stands up and begins to preach to them. I want to say, what is it? 14. Listen to this. I'll just read it from my phone real quick. You can put it up there in verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11. This is a little bit of lengthy reading, but that's okay. Standing up with the 11, said unto them, you men of Judea, you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you. Hearken to my words. You guys think I had to hearken that day that Dan spoke to me? You think I had to hear his words? Let me ask you a question. Danny, did you ever spoke anything down those lines to me prior to that day?
You were talking about the curse?
Yes.
Building up to it, yes.
So, I mean, you had spoke about some of those things, identified some of those things. Why didn't I hear it before then? Now, I get it. That day was a point blank And if I can just be blunt, it was a point blank in your face. Not in a bad way, but it was just, Keith, it was put on the table. Here it is. What are you going to do?
Before that, you speak the word of God to see if a person actually loves God or not.
Okay, that's what I was.
You realize that a person can't hear it, and that's how you do. You continue to go on, and then when you know the time of the Lord is there, you'll speak it.
There you go. So you had preached it, at minimum, you had preached all of the things that you said to me prior to that time. And then individually, as he's saying, he had spoke certain things, and I know Rick did. But what was the problem? I couldn't hear? Or, can I get nitty-gritty here with you? Were there some things I still loved more at that time than the things of God? Now, I'm not preaching you into condemnation, but I do know that at this preaching, condemnation will come forth. It's intended to do so, isn't it? Do you have to address that? You have to deal with that, Brad? At some point, Brad, do you have to stand up and go, you know what? Dang it, there are some thoughts. I feel there are some things in me, but you know what? I'm going to believe the gospel. And you begin to believe who you are, right? All right, Peter standing up with the 11, he said, listen to what I'm saying to you. Hearken to my words. Let's keep going. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So real quick, you guys remember the book of Joel? What Peter is speaking right here, he's referencing what was prophesied in the prophet Joel, that, and we're going to read it right now, that it shall come to pass that in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all your flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. Your old men are going to dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaids, I'll pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Is this a promise in the days of Joel? Is this a promise? Was this a promise to those that are in that upper room right now, wherein Peter standing up and getting ready to testify about what God just did for him? Was this at that time a promise, and now we're seeing prophecy fulfilled? Is the word of God that's been preached and taught to you a promise? Is it prophecy? In other words, God is foretelling something that is going to take place in you, the word of God, in time and days to come. Do you believe that? You say, well, I don't want to hear about it. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I'm not asking for that. I just want to know, is there a hope in you that what has been told you of this coming Messiah, of this great last day outpouring, that you simply believe it, trust it, and you're going to let the Holy Ghost lead you into it? Do you believe that? Because I got news, when you get told you're working in curses and there's things in you that have prevented the word of God from coming forth, there's got to be some trust there. Trust that when even Dan was put into place, there were thoughts in me that said, what? He's a kid, man. Seriously, I've been around the block. I'm telling you, arrogant thoughts. Arrogant thoughts. And now look. Now look. You going to question what God's done? Well, you could, but you can't. The evidence is too great. The glory of the Lord has filled the temple. You can't argue with what God's done. That's just all there is to it. Now, there are dark thoughts that will try to persuade you against it, but the evidence is too overwhelming. There's a testimony with witness. You cannot deny that, Keith. But isn't it funny? We deny it in ourselves all the time. That's amazing to me. And trust me, I went through that, battled when God first told me you're the Son of God, battled in not being able to believe that. It's just things you do not understand. He said, I'll show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth. We're hearing about these wonders and these signs, aren't we, in the teachings? When you go to Revelation 12, we're hearing about these things, the wonders in heaven, the signs in the earth. Are we not? But because we don't always understand the full spectrum of those things, we question, we doubt, we struggle. I'm telling you, man, this is prophecy at work. A promise of God that's been brought into you to bring that word of God in you from where it's at right now to the fulfillment of prophecy. And in actuality, guys, it's very, very simple. We, in the carnal mind, make it hard. Keep going. Because I don't want to spend a lot of time. I just want to get to a point here. The sun will be turned to darkness, moon into blood. Therefore, before the great notable day of the Lord come. You believe that day's coming? It is. It's been prophesied. It's coming. It shall come to pass. This is good. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You ever cried out to God? Help me. Save me. Anybody? What do you think is that call? Is God waiting on that call to rise up in you? Is he waiting on you, the word of God, to call upon the name of the Lord? In other words, do you believe there'll come a time when you get fed up with those things of darkness and those curses and those lies and those wickedness, and you will call upon the name of God for deliverance and salvation? Do you believe God brings you to that point? Yes, he does. Keep going. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Now I ask you guys in the very beginning, is the word of God in you? So Michelle, if the word of God's in you, who's in you? Jesus. But what if he's just young right now? What if that word of God is just a baby? What if it's young and there's just things it doesn't understand? It hasn't come into maturity yet. What do we trust in? The prophecy, right? We trust in even those that have spoken over us, even spoken to us, like Peter is doing to those right now that are in him. He's speaking to those in him, telling them, this Jesus has done these miracles and wonders and signs in the midst of you. He's done it in your midst. You've seen it, in other words. You've heard his gospel. You've seen these miracles that he's done. And he's bringing them back into remembrance. Because in their thoughts right now, this Jesus of Nazareth, we crucified him. He's dead. He's gone. There's no Jesus. Peter's like, oh no, there's a Jesus. The same Jesus that did miracles in the sight of you, in the midst of you, that's the Jesus I'm preaching to you right now. And here's what he's going to tell them. Him being delivered. Now he's talking to who? Who's he talking to? We just read it in the verse before. He's talking to Israel. So is Israel in you? What was Israel? A bunch of rebellious children. Couldn't obey God, couldn't keep the commandments, just like Adam. Really, Israel is the children of Adam. And everything that was working in Adam is seen full-blown manifest in Israel. From the rebellion, the idolatry, the things he didn't understand, the good and the evil. Why did Israel always tend to go toward the evil when there was good present also? But then I'd just be asking you that same question right now, Israel. Why do you tend to always lean to the bad, to the evil, when there's good in you also? You said God's in you. I say God is in you of a truth. That, in other words, that is true. God is in you. So what are we going to do, Brad? We're going to lean to the good. In other words, what is God? When Dan is teaching you or leading you or God, what is he leading you to? To the good, to the God, to becoming God, to becoming the good, and knowing that you are not the evil. And you know what it means to know you're not the evil? It'd be kind of what Paul said. Once you were these things, sometimes you were these things, but now are you. See, when Jesus comes on the scene, it doesn't matter what you were, because he is there to show you, I have forgiven you. I died for your sins. You do not have to remain in your sin. Come with me. Follow me. Believe me. I will change you. See, I believe in change. I believe you can change. I believe there's reasons why people do not change. It's because they choose not to change. It's very simple. There are those in our midst that are believing the gospel of Jesus Christ right now, and there are those who are not. Folks, I'll just be honest with you. There's thoughts in me still at times in this world that God set in my heart that does not believe the gospel. But when God raises up this Jesus, he raises up these disciples and makes them apostles, guess what those apostles have been raised up for? To go and preach to that world and convert all they can. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. I'm simply letting you know, God has shown me there are people, there are characters, there are thoughts in me that have not heard the gospel. They've not believed the gospel. But the one that God is raising up, he's the preacher of that gospel. And anyone in that world that believes the simplicity of my gospel, can God change them too? Oh, yeah. He said, you'll go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, then the uttermost part of the world. How much of this world does God want to save? Part of it? Half of it? Three quarters of it? How much? All of it? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? So he says, you delivered. He was delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. That is awesome right there, because in Israel's mind, they thought they had the power, but yet God had foreknowledge that this very thing would take place. And Jesus himself said, all power is in the hands of the Father. If he had not allowed this, if he wasn't allowing this, none of it would be. I could call a legion of angels right now, and they could come and get me. But for this purpose was I born. He did this with great purpose to bring you into the same overcoming, the same victory of faith and the testimony of Jesus Christ that he walks in now and for always. You've taken by wicked hands, crucified and slain. If I told you those thoughts in you that don't believe the gospel, with great purpose, with determinate purpose, counsel, I believe it said. Your own thoughts counsel you. They take with wicked hands that gospel, that seed, that word of God in you, and they crucify it, they slay it to prevent it from coming forth. What they do not know is it was all part of the plan of God, because in his death was going to bring forth this resurrection. So when we fight that death, we don't understand at the time that crucifying that Christ must needs be. But it's going to bring about a great resurrection, Brad. And the truth of God is going to come forth. Prophecy will be fulfilled. And nothing the devil does can stop it. Nothing. Where are we at? Are we almost done here? Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible. That just makes my point. That he should be holding of it. That's amazing, huh? This morning there is a simple, simple truth that Jesus Christ came, he died, he rose from the grave, and he sits at the right hand of the Father forever. And the gospel of that same Jesus is being preached by these that have been raised up by him, have been given a gospel, have received the testimony of Jesus Christ, have received the experience and witness of the Holy Ghost, and are preaching by witness this death, burial, and resurrection. They have preached a gospel to you that can do the same thing for that word of God in you as what God did in them. It's a procreation of the same. Does that make sense? In other words, God is doing everything he did in his son Jesus. He's doing it in those apostles. And what's working in those apostles as they preach their gospel is doing the same work in you. And guess what? In time to come, when God raises that word of God up in you, will you not do the same? These signs shall follow them that believe. They'll preach the gospel to every creature. They'll speak in new tongues. Is this what was taking place for Peter that day? Was he speaking in a new tongue? How many times did Peter struggle and fall and fail? But not on this day. God changed him this day. Oh, sure. Through the book of Acts, there were other things God was going to go after in Peter. That's what I was alluding to earlier. There's other things in this world God's going to get. But what the world may not know at that time is that God has raised up his son now. And if that son of God, that spiritual Jew has been raised up, the preacher of the gospel, he can now go forth into that world and preach his gospel. And everyone that believes that gospel and hears that gospel and receives that gospel can be saved. That's pretty awesome. Let's see if there was anything else here real quick because I'm almost done. I don't know how long I've been going here. Let's go. Let's keep going. A couple more here. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Why do you think Peter's referencing David in this infilling of the Holy Ghost, this outpouring of the Holy Ghost? Why do you think he's referencing David? Did I not tell you in the book of Joel that these things were prophesied? Did David not partake of that same prophecy about the coming of the Lord, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What was David waiting on? In this instance, in the book of Acts 2, he was waiting on Peter, wasn't he? Were all the patriarchs of the Old Testament waiting on Peter to come to this? Ah, they were, weren't they? So Peter references David because David saw this prophecy, but now, Keith, what is David seeing? He's seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy right before his very eyes. God had never left him without hope, but now Peter is testifying, David has come with me in this resurrection. God kept his word. Have you ever questioned whether God would keep his word? You know, every time you doubt, you basically you're saying God's a liar. He's not going to keep his word. Oh, it happens. But guess what? God's not a liar. He's going to keep every word he's ever spoken. Let's keep going. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. All the way back to the time when that first message Dan preached about peace in the carnal mind. My God, years ago. I don't remember how many years ago that was. And I heard that. I was like, wow, that's different. That's really different. Never heard anybody talk like that's different. What is that? Peace in the carnal mind? What? You never thought you could rest in hope in the midst of all your enemies, did you? You never thought you could have any kind of peace when all of those thoughts of no understanding was at work. But it's not true, is it? You can rest. You can be at peace and wait for the fulfillment of prophecy to come forth in your life. Let's keep going. Because thou wilt not leave, and we'll end right here, will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. So did Peter testify that day about what God did for him? About what he did for his son? Was Peter telling those of Israel, and even those that were not of Israel, there were Gentiles there too? He was telling nations there that day. Was he telling them the great testimony that of the work of God that the Lord had done in his life? Was he preaching his gospel? Was he preaching a testimony now? Everything Jesus told me in those 3.5 years, I have witnessed it this day. God has kept his word. Everything Joel prophesied, it has come to pass this day. What a great testimony. Have you been able to stand and say, the curses are broken? God kept his word. As I hearkened unto the Lord, as I submitted to God, what did God say? Submit yourself to this anointing, and I'll give it to you without reservation. Guess what happens when you do what God said do? Guess what happens when you actually learn to submit to the anointing? Guess what God does? He begins to give it to you without reservation. Go read Jude, man. There were some angels kept in reservation, wasn't there? Reserved in darkness? Guess what? You're brought into the light. Julie, you're not left in darkness anymore. The mysteries begin to be unraveled. The mysteries begin to be opened. The seals begin to be opened. God begins to open heaven. God begins to talk to you. And for the first time, you begin to realize, I'm everything God said. I am the Son of the living God. There's nothing to be afraid of. And anything you don't understand, you wait on God for. You just simply wait on God for. You don't run after this anymore. This is where some of us work. We want to run in knowledge and try to figure out this testimony. It doesn't work that way. That's backwards. So I'm going to wrap it up with this. Just believe the gospel. And if you can't, it's brought something to manifestation, and you're just going to have to make a choice to love God, follow these pastors, submit yourself, and do the best you can until the Word of God brings forth that prophecy to its great fulfillment. There's choices you're going to make even here today. I'm either going to get in this thing, believe this thing, let the Word of God do this thing in me, or not. Or not. But I say believe the gospel. Believe the simple truth that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised from the dead, and God will do the work of salvation in you. Amen? God bless you guys. We'll see you.